Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Wednesday, November 6th, 2019. Good afternoon. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. We are at stevejonesshow.com, where you can find at least 3 months of previously aired shows. We've got them in the archives. I mean, you can also subscribe to our podcast. We're on the Apple Podcast app and Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show. Hit subscribe. Drop the shows right to your smartphone and tablet after we air them live on WKOK. You can get in touch with us by email, stevejones at wkok.com. Find us on Facebook and give us a like and follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And Steve will be checking in from the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, North 4th Street, Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. A lot going on the show today. Look forward to hearing from the outstanding play-by-play announcer from ESPN, paired up with Nittany Lion quarterback legend Todd Blackledge, Sean McDonough. Get his conversation with Steve. Great to have Sean back on the show. Last time Sean, I believe, was on the show, he was still doing ESPN's Monday Night Football a couple of years ago. So terrific to hear Sean back on the broadcast this weekend, back on the broadcast coming up today with Steve here on the show. We will have a Nittany Lion conversation later on with, he is the host of the Locked On Nittany Lions podcast, Kevin McGuire. Kevin has also done some freelance work for NBCSports.com, heavily involved with writing regarding the Philadelphia Phillies and college football in general. So we'll get Kevin's take on the Nittany Lions here the day after we heard about the first college football playoff top six that was announced last evening on ESPN, with Penn State checking in at number four, surprising some across the country. But as long as they keep winning, they control their destiny. Next in line, of course, is Minnesota, undefeated. So we got Minnesota, Penn State, both 8-0. Have that for you here on WKOK Saturday morning, the pregame at 10:30 and the kickoff at 12 noon. Penn State with an easy win in college basketball last night. The men with their season opener in the Jordan Center over Maryland Eastern Shore. Bucknell also getting a big win on the road at Fairfield, 4-point victory. Fairfield defeated Bucknell last year at Soica. So the Orange and Blue getting a little payback last night. 68-64. Next up for Bucknell will be Sunday against Vermont. That is a 2 p.m. tip. You'll be able to hear that over on Eagle 107 with head coach Nathan Davis in the pregame at 1:30. But before Bucknell basketball on Sunday, football team will be back at Christie on Saturday following three straight on the road. They will renew their rivalry with Lehigh. That'll be a 1 p.m. kick on Saturday. Airtime will be 12:30 on Eagle 107 with Doug Birdsong and Kevin Herr. By the way, we'll also have some college basketball conversation. KenPom.com, the creator of those great ratings and rankings, Ken Pomeroy. Great to have Ken back on the show for the first time this college basketball season. He'll be checking in with Steve, too. We'll have some high school football conversation tomorrow, as the Seals Grove Seals will be at Jersey Shore Friday night. Two teams will tangle one more time for a District 4 Quad A title. And that's on Eagle 107 Friday night with a 7 p.m. kick. Scheduled to hear from Zach Showers tomorrow afternoon. Get the Seals Grove perspective of that matchup on Friday night from Thompson Street Stadium against the Bulldogs. Some college football news. Rutgers is trying to lure Greg Schiano back to coach its team. Scarlet Knights taking a step forward by meeting with him for several hours yesterday, but the meeting ended without Schiano taking the job. Rutgers officials went to him in Columbus, Ohio, and first reporting of the details was NJ.com. Former Tennessee coach Butch Jones, who is now an offensive analyst in Alabama, was also interviewed for the Rutgers job last week. Schiano's 53, the most successful coach in Rutgers football history. 2006, the Scarlet Knights started 9-0. They ranked 7th in the AP poll after upsetting number 3 Louisville. Rutgers lost to Cincinnati the next week, eventually finished 11-2, and finished number 12 that year in the AP poll. That was the highest finish in school history, and Schiano won the Eddie Robinson Coach of the Year and Home Depot Coach of the Year honors that season. Schiano left Rutgers to coach the Tampa Bay Buccaneers January 2012. Of course, Schiano with ties to Bucknell as he made his way up the college football coaching ranks. Also at one time, assistant head coach and defensive coordinator under Urban Meyer at Ohio State from 2016 to 2018. And as we mentioned, college basketball starting last night. Bucknell getting a win, Penn State getting a win. Also the top four teams had at it last night in New York City, including number 1 Michigan State, number 2 Kentucky. And now, Kentucky is number 1. Michigan State was number 1 in the CBS Sports Top 25. But as of the last night, the 69-62 victory by Kentucky in the Champions Classic. So now teams have, they have flip-flopped. So now Kentucky is now number 1. Michigan State missed 21 of 26 three-pointers last night. If you had a chance to catch quite a bit of that contest, you saw Nate Sestina, former Bucknell forward, now at Kentucky as a grad transfer. And we'll have a play-by-play call of the day from last night's Kentucky-Michigan State game coming up a little later on in the show. But a year after getting embarrassed in the season opener on a similar stage, the Wildcats controlling Michigan State pretty much from the jump last night to the final buzzer. Tyrese Maxey had one of the best debuts of any freshman in Kentucky history. 6'3 guard, came off the bench, took 12 shots, made 7 of them, and finished with a game-high 26 points and 5 rebounds. So we'll see if he becomes UK's best player and leading scorer as the season moves along. Wildcats likely to hold on to the top spot for a while, according to, well, actually they're going to be meeting Ohio State on December the 21st. So we'll see if they can stay number 1 in the top 60 in the KenPom rankings. And yes, as we mentioned a little bit ago, Ken Pomeroy will be joining us later on the show. So Kentucky, number 1. Duke moved up to number 2. Duke with a victory last night over Kansas. Trey Jones, team-high 15 points in the victory last night. Blue Devils won despite shooting just under 36% from the field because they took 14 more shots than Kansas. Louisville sitting at number 4. Picked up a win last night at Miami. Cardinals shooting 47.4% from three-point range. Kansas Jayhawks committed 28 turnovers in that loss last night to Duke. Devin Dotson, sophomore guard, finishing with 6 turnovers, only made 5 field goals in last night's game. Highest-ranked team out of the Big Ten is Maryland, currently number 6. Jalen Smith, 16 points last night in the Terps win over Holy Cross. Holy Cross hung tough with Maryland for a little bit last night, even though Maryland made just 5 of 27 three-pointers that they attempted. Memphis at number 7, James Wiseman took 14 shots, made 11 of them to finish with 28 points in their win over South Carolina State last night. A little peek into last night's college hoops.
You'll also notice something that's happened last night, going to happen tonight. Virginia's going to play Syracuse tonight. Did you notice all the ACC games last night? Conference games? I don't mean Duke playing Kansas. I'm talking about actual ACC games. Louisville playing Miami last night. Virginia Tech played, I think, Clemson. Tonight, Syracuse playing Virginia. With the new ACC network, they wanted to really jumpstart the ACC network, so they opened the season with a series of ACC games last night. Conference games.
You mentioned Virginia. They're going to have to replace their top three scorers from their national championship team from last year. So we'll see how they do as they move forward.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Absolutely. That'll be a big part of this. So as to what they're doing. And Penn State got off to a good start. They got Wagner Saturday. They'll be their prohibitive favorite again in that game. And then they go to D.C. to play Georgetown a week from tomorrow. That should be a terrific opportunity. Kevin McGuire, the host of Locked On Nittany Lions podcast, coming up today. And talk about college basketball. We got Ken Pomeroy. How about Sean McDonough?
Outstanding.
Do you think that's going to work?
Yeah, I think I'd mentioned right before he jumped on there. I think the last time we had him on, he was still doing Monday Night Football on ESPN.
He was. He was in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's right.
He was in Philadelphia at the time.
Yeah.
When we had him on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's today's game plan. I hope it meets with everybody's approval. And we'll have some fun with that today. And tomorrow, Cam Meller, Pro Football Focus, will be on the show tomorrow. Plus, our roundtable's been pared down.
Yeah. Zach, go ahead.
Keeping Zach on retainer. Yeah, we're going to do that. So we're looking forward to that. Now, something I'm going to try and put together between now and next Friday. I'm going to try and get on the show at the same time Brian Tripp from Minneapolis, because he'll be doing hockey at the time. Justin Antwil, who's now the new voice of Lady Lion Basketball, and Jeff Byers, the voice of Penn State Wrestling. We're going to call it the Voices of Penn State. Now, we're trying to put this together right now. And I'd like to get them all on at the same time. I think it would be a fun show for Penn State fans to listen to the various voices of the various teams and essentially have a roundtable discussion on what everybody does and how they go about their business and how they got into it and how it brought them to the opportunities they've had today. Yeah, that's 9 days away, but that's something we're working on putting together right now. Another great idea from the suit. No. Just had no idea we were doing this.
No. Yeah. He's been a busy boy today. He's been pretty busy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Birthday party in the area, blowing up balloons? What was he doing?
Nah, there's just a few things I encountered along the way earlier today I had to bring to his attention, so we had to get some things taken care of, so which we did. So.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was taken care of to your satisfaction.
Nah, we just got to keep the productivity machine humming around here, you know?
Well, that's where you come in.
Well, we try.
Right? And, you know, and let's face it, meetings like that, an opportunity for all of us to, quote, overcome the odds. All right, so.
But, yeah, we got quite a bit cooking here on the show. I mean, the Voices of Penn State roundtable sounds phenomenal. And I know last week.
And then then speaking of Kevin's going to join us for that high school roundtable. We're going to do it.
Yes.
And I think it's great. It's going to be great to have his perspective. Because, look, all these guys that we're talking to, we're going to have Dave Hess on the show for that high school roundtable. Dave Hess, Greg Wetzel, Kevin, the chief will do it too.
He's in. You betcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, all of these guys go everywhere and have done so for years. So what's right about what they're seeing on the high school football scene? What needs to be corrected on the high school football scene? What needs to be corrected when it comes to participation? on the high school football scene. I mean, there's a lot I want to talk to them about. The emphasis on district versus conference. We have to talk about a wide variety of elements here, in my opinion. So, I think so. We'll put that together too. And what was the date we targeted for that? Was that 2 weeks?
I was going to, I had mentioned next Thursday to you, but we may have to push
Thursday,
that back.
Thursday, yeah. If Sealands Grove wins.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right. If Sealands Grove wins, we may move it back, but I know you have a game next Thursday, correct?
Yes, I do. I'm in D.C. that day, so I'll do the show from D.C.
Okay. Well, we could still have the roundtable or move it back.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm doing the show from D.C., so that is no issue for me.
Okay.
Our airtime is 6 o'clock, and I can walk from the hotel to the arena. It's like, I don't know, I want to say it's 2-3 blocks, but
terrific.
I can walk.
There you go.
To get there. So, I mean, I can hang probably for all of it. So that's the game plan. That's the game plan on that. All right. Have we taken a break yet?
Time flies when you're having fun. We have not.
Yeah. We have not been having fun? Thank you very much. Don't forget to tip your waitress. I'm back for the 7 o'clock show.
Mic drop. And it's only Wednesday.
We'll go KenPom next half hour.
Sure.
Talk a little college hoop with Kenny P, Ken Pomeroy, and then Sean McDonough will join us in the 4:06 half hour.
By the way, you and DJ were in just early March form last night. It was terrific.
We had a good time.
Yeah.
I need to tell a story, so I said, I better stop here and we'll pick up the action. Then there was a foul. I said, and now you can continue with your story. Only on this broadcast, baby.
Seamless.
The people I work with, you, Jack, DJ. I mean, I've got the best of the whole deal. It's unbelievable. By the way, we will not have Matt McGloin this week because I believe Matt has an XFL commitment he has to take care of. So we're not going to have him this weekend. So just so you know, if you don't hear him on Saturday, you know, what happened? What did they do to him? Nothing. And Jack said he was going to buy dinner on Friday night. So Jack and I have been really alternating who buys dinner. Well, Jack said, I'm going to buy dinner. So, of course, I got a hold of him. I said, McGloin's not going to be there. Big, big pro football eater off the table and off your tab.
See, but this is the thing. Now you guys can turn to Mr. Corey. Hey, next man up. You're up.
Yeah. Let me put it to you this way. The moment that happens is the moment we see a moth fly out of that wallet. All right. We'll come back next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. The Penn State Nittany Lions play on WKOK.
Back goes Clifford off play action. Waits. Long and deep down the middle. Hamler, KJ's there. Got it. Touchdown, Penn State.
Penn State football is sponsored by Murray Motor Chevrolet, Earth Energy Innovations, Regisseur Chevrolet, First National Insurance, Sealands Grove Ford, Mart's Game Farm, Purdy Insurance Agency. Kickoff is set for noon in Minneapolis. We're on beginning at 10:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Big thank you to everybody that subscribed to our Steve Jones Show podcast. You can find us on Google Play and the Apple Podcast app. Search Steve Jones Show. Hit subscribe, and then we drop the shows right to your smartphone and tablet. By the way, if you do listen to us either through the Apple Podcast app or through iTunes, don't hesitate to leave us a review. Five-star reviews are great. Help spread the word and gets the message out even to even more Penn State football fans across Nittany Nation. By the way, I know the mantra, Minnesota, 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 but we will mention this. This is for the fans. Penn State officially announced this earlier, about an hour or two ago. The kickoff time for Penn State at Ohio State on Saturday, November 23rd, will be a 12 noon kick. Okay, we still don't know the time of the Indiana game. But we know the Ohio State game. So, noon this Saturday, Minnesota. Hopefully we'll find out on Sunday at the very earliest, the Indiana kickoff time. And again, just released earlier today via Penn State and Fox Sports. Fox is going to be doing the TV game. So that'll be your big noon Saturday game on the 23rd with the Nittany Lions and the Buckeyes at Ohio Stadium. And you betcha we'll have that here on WKOK with a 10:30 airtime. So, across the country last night, lots of college basketball going on. Bucknell getting a win, Penn State getting a win, and when you listen to the broadcast on the Penn State Sports Network with Steve and Dick Girardi, one valuable resource they use is KenPom when it comes to team rankings and various other types of statistics that makes the broadcast even richer and more informative. And we owe it to Ken Pomeroy. Steve had a chance to talk to Ken earlier today.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's always great to have you on. First, simply, before we get started with this, I want to at least start with the basics for everybody. If you love college basketball, I strongly recommend that you do what we do, and that is subscribe to it. But when they see the metrics, they have to disseminate what you're putting out there. So what are the important metrics that go into a ranking for you and then in turn go into a, quote, game feel for you?
Yeah, it's all about adjusted offensive efficiency and adjusted defensive efficiency, which is kind of a mouthful, but basically just take the points the team scores per 100 possessions, take the points they allow per 100 possessions, adjust those for the quality of the opponents, and that's ultimately what makes up the rating. Early in the season, it's a little different because obviously we don't have certainly when the season starts, we don't have any data, so it's more of a projection at this point. But right. As the season goes on and we collect data, obviously the season data matters more, and that's what makes up the rating.
And, in fact, for you in this, I guess these are all still projections, right? Penn State, you have it 42 right now to start the year. When you looked at some of the numbers to set up the season, what stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, Penn State, you know, so here's what goes into the preseason rating. It's you know, there's a lot of things that go into it, but you know, at its simplest, it's looking at recent history,
right.
And it's looking at who you bring back. And so, you know, Penn State brings back a lot of guys from, you know, a team that was pretty successful last year. I mean, they were obviously a weird case with the record and getting off such a poor start in Big Ten play. But even when they're getting off to such a poor start, they were competitive against good teams. And so, you know, the system's more concerned about how you play than your record exactly. And So, you know, Penn State's recent history has actually been pretty solid, and they bring back a lot of guys. And so, you know, and also playing in a good conference, you know, they end up ranked 43 to start the season.
Right, exactly. And should be pointed out that Dick Girardi and I talked about this on the broadcast last night, Ken. A lot of people don't realize, if you really look at the last 15 years of Penn State basketball, which you've done, you know, just in your base ratings, the last 2 years have been, for Penn State, a 19 to finish after the NIT. And I want to say, what, 43, 44, somewhere last year. Recent history has actually been, the last couple of years, better.
Yeah, no question. So the 19 after the NIT win, and then 43 last year. And, I mean, certainly, you know, one of the handy features on my site is you can go and kind of look at the history since 1997 of the program. And, you know, obviously it's been a difficult slog in the Big Ten. I mean, it's you know, hard to have a winning record in the Big Ten if you're Penn State. And so, yeah, certainly the last 2 years especially have been pretty successful. And, you know, obviously they win some of those close games last year, and people feel probably a lot differently about that. But, yeah, that's an excellent point.
Yeah. I'd go back and look at it, Ken, but I broadcast all those games, so I don't want to go back and look at it. I'm sorry. All right. At the top, obviously, Michigan State did not win last night. They don't have Langford right now either. They're not going to have him for a while. So let's talk about the top part of this. And when you look at not just the numbers, but I'm just talking about the teams, because you've got a really good feel for all of this. Michigan State, Kentucky, Louisville, which had a big win last night, Duke, Virginia. That's your five as of yesterday.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, Michigan State, obviously, the Langford situation is pretty critical. I mean, if you watched the game last night, they really are missing a third option, and maybe one will emerge, but if one doesn't emerge, they will be really hoping that Langford can come back and be the old Josh Langford. But, yeah, it's an interesting list. I mean, certainly, you know, Kentucky and Duke obviously relying on young players, and to some extent Louisville is as well. I mean, they have a little bit of experience coming back, but a great group of freshmen coming in there as well. And then Virginia obviously has not played yet, but we'll get a real nice test playing at the Carrier Dome tonight, so we'll figure out really quickly where they're at.
How interesting is it, though, that, for example, Clemson opened up was it Wake last night, I think?
Virginia Tech. Yeah.
And then it was Louisville opening up last night, all in conference games, and now Syracuse and Virginia's conference game. Now, this is all obviously ACC network-driven. You and I both know that. But how interesting is that for you to see conference games as openers?
I love it. I mean, I love having those tough games early. I know Bill Self was kind of whining about having to play a tough opponent early and, you know, wanting those Champions Classics games move back maybe a week, but I love to make those coaches uncomfortable. I mean, to me, it's, you know, I'd much rather see these type of competitive games, obviously throughout the season, but, you know, it's always been a struggle. I think that first night to find like really good games, because most teams are just kind of scheduling a de facto, you know, preseason game, and a lot more fun to watch. I mean, those ACC games, you know, obviously Louisville won pretty easily, but Georgia Tech also played NC State and had a big comeback and forced overtime, and the two Champions Classic games were fun, so I love it.
All right, so I want to ask you a bit about Kentucky, because obviously they played very well last night, and they get an older player like Nate Sestina, the transfer from Bucknell, in. But, as always, they have a top recruiting class that they bring in. Does that figure in at all, a recruiting class ranking? Does that figure in at all as to what your numbers tell you about a team?
Yeah, it does. It's really tricky because most freshmen that come in don't make a huge impact. But obviously the top 10, top 20, top 30, like those guys matter. And so with teams like Kentucky and Duke, it's pretty easy because they, you know, had real consistent success the last few years, and my system sees that. And so, yeah, they're adding some good recruits as well, so that factors in. But, you know, even if they didn't add those guys, they'd already be ranked pretty high. It's, you know, it's the teams like Memphis and Washington that are adding really good players that have not had a lot of success in recent years that the system tends to be a lot more skeptical on. And that's, you know, the one challenge, I think, in rating these teams is trying to handle the cases where high-quality freshmen go to teams that otherwise, you know, really have no history of playing well with high-quality freshmen, if that makes sense.
3, 4, 5, and 6 all have one thing in common. They're all ACC teams. What is the depth, in your opinion, of the ACC?
Well, it really is top-heavy. You know, when you look at the overall conference ratings, I only have the ACC ranked third. So you obviously have those four teams at the top, but then it drops off, you know, pretty markedly. You know, I got Florida State at 14.
Right.
And then after that, it looks like you got to go all the way down to 44 for the next team. So
Notre Dame. Yep.
Yeah, 40. NC State's at 40. So, yeah, so, you know, that kind of gives you an idea. It's really, you know, they're going to have some, obviously, the typical national title contenders in Duke and Carolina, and it looks like Louisville's legit, and we'll see about Virginia. And after that, you know, certainly some question marks, and there's some bottom feeders there that, you know, aren't going to figure in the tournament chase. So it's really a weird conference. Definitely the best at the top, and they'll get a lot of notoriety for that because that's what people focus on, but there's definitely some easier wins in that league than some of the other power conferences as well.
All right, so give me a conference that bears watching that you think has really quality depth, one through maybe not quite to the bottom, but near it.
Well, you know, the Big 12 is always pretty reliable for that. They've been my top-ranked conference, I think, the last 6 years. And, you know, my conference rating is looking, you know, focusing more on top-to-bottom quality as opposed to just the top teams or Final Four contenders or things like that. And you know, they're in that running again. Obviously, you know, Kansas is going to be good at the top, despite the fact they, you know, were pretty disappointing last night. But the worst ranked team I have is West Virginia at 58. So, you know, everybody's in the top 60 right now. And you'll have a couple of teams that end up being disappointing and, you know, drop down. Maybe you'll have one team out of the top 100. But for the most part, you know, you got to play double round robin in that league. And there are no breaks on the road. The best team can lose to the worst team on the road. And it's just a really competitive league.
I will include the Big East in this question, and so we'll call it the Power Six. Of the Power Six, which one is the one that is the weakest, in your opinion, based on your initial rankings, where the top can make a run?
Yeah, well, first of all, I appreciate you including the Big East there because they definitely deserve to be there. But, yeah, you know, the Pac-12 is the league that, you know, there are really some question marks about. They actually had a good night last night. A lot of their teams overachieved a bit. And you know, give you some hope that they can kind of return to, you know, being in that Power Six classification, because last year they were really closer to the seventh place league, the American, than they were to any of the you know, the Power Conference schools. So that's a conference to watch. You know, a lot of teams. You know, we talk about Washington, Arizona, USC, a couple other teams that are kind of you know, trying to reload as freshmen after maybe some disappointing years in you know, recent seasons. So you got to watch them. Colorado's a team with a little more experience that should be pretty good. Oregon, you know, a team that has some experience and has a key freshman and Folly Dante, who will be eligible in about 5 or 6 weeks. So, so there's a lot of question marks in that league, as is usual. But you know, kind of be interesting to see how that plays out. Maybe some of those top teams can emerge with the younger players this year.
All right, it's interesting. I can't believe you said that. I mean, because Bill Walton tells me every single Friday night it's the conference. Well, okay, it's a different topic. All right, so let's get to the Big Ten. I mentioned the ACC at 3, 4, 5, and 6. By the way, for those, it would be Louisville, Duke, Virginia, North Carolina. Big Ten spread out here, but they're really spread out in your top 70 here. What does that tell us about the strength of the league, in your opinion, metrically?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's, I don't know if we can take away anything, you know, too witty about it. I think, you know, obviously the top of the league, you know, you got Michigan State, and then you got that next group of three or so, Purdue, Ohio State, Maryland. I have Purdue at 7, which is obviously much higher than probably people in the public have them, but, you know, they should be pretty good. Matt Painter is a pretty consistent coach. So, you know, it's kind of who's going to emerge from those next three teams and maybe be a team that can, you know, get to the Final Four or be a Final Four threat. You know, and then the middle of the conference is, you know, the middle of the conference. You know, it's like kind of the middle of every other league. You know, you get down to Michigan and Indiana and Iowa and Penn State and Illinois and Wisconsin. I mean, if you saw some of those teams play last night, certainly Illinois and Michigan, you know, some question marks about those teams. So it's just a matter of, you know, how many of those teams can get tournament bids, but a few of them will, and a few of them will be disappointing, and I don't have necessarily a good feel on which will be which, but that's part of the fun of following these teams during the season.
Give me a team or two that you think that Now, look, everybody has opinions as to what it's going to be. You run the numbers. You also watch. Well, I mean, let's keep in mind, you watch a lot of college basketball. Give me a team or two that might be a little bit under the radar in some estimation that you personally are interested to see how well it does turn out for them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Purdue would be one of those teams that, you know, the metrics really like. I get outside the Big Ten, I guess I would throw, you know, Baylor at you. They're 11 in my system right now. And they returned, you know, a fair amount from last season's team. Again, it's really kind of a interesting turnabout for Scott Drew in his career, where early in his career he was really recruiting, you know, going after the best, you know, recruits that he could get. And now he's like kind of more of a program builder, and so he doesn't necessarily have the flashy names on the roster, but they should be solid. I'd throw Marquette in there as well as like a team I'm just really interested in, because, you know, obviously Marcus Howard coming back, and that's going to be a really dynamic offense. We got Kobe McHugh in the transfer from Utah State, who will be in that backcourt. Defensively, there are some question marks about them, but my system is, you know, rating them pretty high defensively, 27. So, you know, if they can be that good defensively, like, this is a team that, you know, certainly could win a Big East title.
I want to ask a quick question about how or if coaches figure into some of this initially. You know, the season, it bears out its own fruit, when you've got a lot of data to work with. I'll give you two examples. Patrick Ewing at Georgetown. Patrick Ewing has worked very hard at his craft to be a coach. And I don't think a lot of people realize how long he toiled on staffs in the NBA to then get this chance. He was not handed the job at Georgetown because he's Patrick Ewing, okay? I mean, you know, obviously that's a factor here, but he actually has worked at the craft. Now you got Juwan Howard at Michigan. He, too, has worked at his craft to then get to this, because they both worked on being coaches. But how do they figure in when we don't know what... Now, Patrick Ewing, we have something up. But Juwan Howard, we don't know how he's going to react in games. Does that figure in at all in this?
You know, it figures in the preseason ratings, and that I do... There's a penalty for teams that have new coaches. So typically you see teams underachieve a little bit that have new coaches for, you know, a variety of reasons. But there's obviously going to be some transition to a new system usually. There's a little bit less of a penalty for teams that bring in coaches with previous college experience. That obviously doesn't apply to Juwan Howard. The other area where it applies is actually forecasting a team's pace for the season. So, you know, we obviously know that Michigan typically played at a pretty slow pace under John Beilein. With him gone now, there's a little bit more of a question mark. Early indications are Juwan Howard's actually going to play at a pretty fast pace. But the system does kind of adjust for that. If a coach has a track record playing at a certain pace, that'll, you know, basically end up being the forecast. For a guy like Juwan Howard, it just kind of makes a guess. It's roughly the middle of Division One, and then, you know, adjust very quickly based on kind of the early season data.
All right, one last question. I have to ask this question, because when we were doing in the pregame show last night, we had to take a look at the Big Ten. St. Mary's was playing Wisconsin. Now, the game did go to overtime. St. Mary's won. But Dick and I asked the open question, over and under a 50 possessions.
Right.
So what was the number last night between St. Mary's and Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, it got to 69, but obviously in overtime. It looks like there was 60 at the end of regulation. So right. One thing you do see, Steve, is early in the season, games are a little bit faster paced than they are at the end of the season. So that was a little bit of inflation maybe due to that effect.
We couldn't help ourselves, Ken.
Okay. I mean, you were on the right path for sure.
We had to have at least a good time. It was the season opener. So.
Right.
Hey, I always look forward to talking to you, and I can't tell you how much I really appreciate your site. It means a lot. It's made the broadcast better. I think it's made it better for the fans, too.